Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
The Premier League All Access podcast is proud to be brought to you by Ladbrokes. Stay ahead of all the big games in the best league in the world, the Premier League. With the latest odds, form guides, expert opinions and more, the fans are the players at Ladbrokes. Are you in? Let's go. Play at ladbrokes.com, 18+, begambleaware.org, T's and C's apply.
This is a Game Day podcast from TalkSport. Game Day, your verdict.
The Premier League is back after the international break and, as ever, it delivered some great entertainment on game day with TalkSport. Jose Mourinho got off to the perfect start as Tottenham boss with a win over West Ham. Arsenal left it late to secure a point against Southampton and Everton lost again under Marco Silva. You've had your say on TalkSport and TalkSport 2. Here's the very best of your thoughts from the full-time phone-in with Adrian Durham and Alvin Martin and your verdict with me, Laura Woods and Darren Bent. This is the Game Day Your Verdict podcast. Let's get straight into it and head over to the Emirates Stadium.
Southampton had a lot of the ball today and far more chances than you. Am I right to say you were outplayed here?
Maybe they took more chances when they were winning 1-2 because we took risk. But with that risk, they had some chances, but we draw also because we were finding that situation. But really, 90 minutes, we didn't control the match like we wanted. And also, we played with very good attitude, the players, and also trying the first half, second half, we changed the system. We also used another players. And really, I think that point is not enough. How we play it is not enough. And I understand the supporters and the players, they are frustrated, but now is to analyze and to find solution for to improve. And we know here that in Emirates is the key for to improve and to connect with our supporters and to feel comfortable and to feel strong.
You mentioned that connection. You were booed off. I mean, the fans have obviously, I won't say they've had enough, but they're very angry right now. You were booed off today, your team. What about that connection? How can you connect with these fans?
Yes, I understand. And after we were losing 1-2, we draw, but we weren't happy because that's 3 points. They were very important. And we lost that opportunity. And we lost also that opportunity to connect with them and also to show them our quality with a good result, good game. But really, we didn't do. We didn't do. And we need to have to wait or to work for the next match to show them again how we can improve.
Have results been good enough lately, in your opinion?
Now, the result is 1 point, but it's home.
Yeah, but in general, have all the results for Arsenal been good enough? I mean, the thing I'm getting at is you're under pressure. You know you're under pressure, and today won't help that. I mean, there's going to be more pressure on you after today, isn't there?
No, it's not under pressure, it's demands. I have a big demands because my responsibility is big. And now is my job is to find solution.
But we saw Pochettino sack this week, and Spurs last season got to a Champions League final. Some people will say under you, Arsenal are no further forward than they were under the previous manager.
Yes, it's big responsibility. It's big responsibility, and I made demands.
Okay, Brent. Thanks for joining us live on TalkSport 2. I appreciate that.
Thank you.
Unai Emery this afternoon, Adrian, for you after the 2-2 draw here with Southampton.
Moose, thank you very much. Please never anybody accuse the Moose of not asking difficult questions.
Yeah. Well, Adrian, I can only respond to the what I heard there. And I don't know. I feel underwhelmed when I hear him talk. Does he sound like the sort of manager that would lift you in a dressing room, that would maybe frighten you a little bit if he had to? You know, I just don't get it. I listened to him talk in that interview. And he seems like a really nice guy, no problem at all. But he's not inspiring, is he?
No, I'd agree with that. And listen, there's 4 wins out of 13. And now he's saying now's the time to find a solution. And no, that time was long ago. You know, the solution was needed the day you started the job. I mean, that he was trying to find a solution to the problem. The problem Arsenal had was they were no longer competitive with the elite. They were no longer in the Champions League. So his job for the last 18 months since he got the job has been to find the solution. And today he's saying, now my job is to find the solution. He's miles behind, and that's out of touch with the Arsenal fans, in my opinion. But fair play to the Moose. Unbelievable. Literally unbelievable questions from him. Let's speak to an Arsenal fan. Piers, an Arsenal fan, has been waiting on the line, listening to that interview. How you doing, Piers?
Yeah, good, boys. How you doing?
Is this the end of the road for Emery?
Oh, absolutely. He should have gone a long time ago. And I have to say, hats off to the Moose. I thoroughly enjoyed that, giving him a grilling, because I'm not trying to be funny. I thought you boys were winding me up and playing a recording of his last interview, or the one before that, or the one against Leicester. It's the same. It's the same words. It's the same nonsense. He's got nothing of substance to say. And if us as fans are feeling like that, we're not having him. What are the players thinking?
I tell you, going to the players up here, how many players in this Arsenal team, mate, do you think are Arsenal calibre? I'm talking about not now, but like of days gone by. And when you were winning titles, how many of these players would get anywhere near that them teams?
Do you know what? Listen, I'm a season ticket holder. I've been going for a fair few years now. I've seen some shocking players, but I've also seen some well beaters. And there are a couple of well beaters in there, but he can't get a tune out of them. We're lucky that we have got a couple of stars, like your Aubameyangs, your Lacazettes, your Mesut Ozil on his day, because they get us out of jail. But Emery cannot get a tune out of this team. He's well out of his depth. And I'm not trying to be funny. Today, I'm driving back from the game now, right? And a game like that under Wenger, we bury them 4-0. And I know we'd take the odd hide-in off a big team, 4-5-0, and it'd be really depressing. But at least the lower half of the league teams, we would bury them and we'd play sexy football and it'd be a joy to watch. We haven't even got that anymore. We've regressed massively and I want him gone tonight. Do you know what? One more thing I'll say on that. Fair play to Daniel Levy. They've shown ambition there and they've acted quickly, and that is what ambitious clubs do. And he's pipped us to the post, because I'd have had Mourinho tomorrow. We don't owe Emery anything. He's not that. All he's done for us is take us to Azerbaijan so we can get our pants pulled down.
Your thoughts on Unai Emery, TJ?
Good evening, lads.
Hi.
Well, Unai Emery has got to go. He is awful. He is awful. He doesn't have a clue what he's doing. He can't motivate the players. Tactically inept. Absolutely awful. I was listening to Ollie, your previous caller. The thing is, Bournemouth have absolutely no right to be in the Premier League. Every day they're in the Premier League is Christmas for them, so they should be happy that they're in. And every season that they stay in the Premier League is down to Eddie Howe. So for them to be talking about Eddie Howe to be out is bonkers for me. And you know what? I'll take Eddie Howe any day of the week. Absolutely any day of the week. They don't know what they've got. And if push comes to shove, he will go to a better club and get better results. They're a relatively small club who are in the Premier League because of Eddie Howe. So he should be thanking his lucky stars, I think.
Blimey, would you take Eddie Howe over Allegri, over Pochettino?
No. Look, Pochettino is the one for us. Not only because he's a great manager, but because we need to get one over Spurs. It'll be an absolute chess move, but we just don't know what we're doing. With transfers, all managers. Absolutely Poch all the way, all right? If you can't get Poch, Eddie Howe, Nuno Espirito Santo, those managers who are proven in the Premier League.
Adam, who's an Arsenal fan, Arsenal held at home today. Adam, how are you feeling? And what now for Unai Emery at Arsenal?
Oh, mate, honestly, I've had enough. It's a complete... I thought it was a mess on Wenger in his last years there. I've never seen it like this. And how stupid did the board look now? That statement that they released, going into the international break, saying that they believed in Unai Emery, they believed in the players, they were happy with the direction that we were going in. And we're drawing 2-2 with Southampton. It's unbelievable. The tactics are wrong. The team selection. You're going through at the back against a team that's sitting near the bottom of the table. It's unbelievable.
Well, and people will look at the table and they'll see Arsenal 7th, but don't be fooled, because Arsenal in 7th on 18 points. Newcastle are 14th with a game in hand on 15. It's so tight in that middle ground. Arsenal are below Burnley, below Wolves, below, as we know, Leicester City. 4 wins in their 13, Adam.
And I'll tell you what, we'll keep on sinking if Unai Emery stays there. And I'll tell you what, Poch is sitting there. He's just waiting for a phone call. If United lose tomorrow or drop points, I guarantee they'll be in for him. Everton, I can't see Silvers being there for much longer. We need to make a move for Poch ASAP. And I tell you what, we've got, going after the international break, we had Southampton today, we've got Norwich, I think it's Brighton after that coming up. After that, then we get into the thick of it at Christmas. We've got City, we've got United, we've got Chelsea, we've got Chelsea within the space of a few weeks. It's only going to get worse.
It's a no-brainer. It's a no-brainer. You've got to go and get Pochettino. He will improve your squad. Your squad is good. But I'll tell you what, if you don't make a change now, there's a chance that people like Aubameyang, who's been the one shining light in your season, how long is he going to stay for? Adrian, if they're not winning anything, they're not going to hold on to their best players, and they've got a forward line that would grace certainly the top four in the division.
Game day. Your verdict on Talk Sport.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term medical plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term medical plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
The Premier League All Access podcast is proud to be brought to you by Ladbrokes. There's a lot more to those 90 minutes than what goes down on the pitch. With the latest odds, form guides and expert opinions, you'll know the score with Ladbrokes. Odds update on Talk Sport with Ladbrokes. Are you in? Let's go. Play at ladbrokes.com. 18 plus. BeGambleAware.org. T's and C's apply.
A victory then on your Spurs first game in charge, your debut for the club today. Mixed feelings though towards the end?
No, first of all, it's not about me. For me it's not important, my first game, my second game. It's Tottenham. Tottenham is important, players are important. I'm very happy for the club, for the players. 3 points, a little jump in the table, happiness, music in the away dressing room, because it's something that they didn't have for almost a year. That is the most important thing. I think would be impossible to play the perfect 90 minutes. Impossible. Coming from the national team, change the manager, mixed emotions, training, lots of concentration to try to eat my message. Not easy at all for them. So for me, it's normal. For me, it's normal that we had a little period where we gave them the initiative, and then they tried to play more direct, and then Antonio is not an easy guy with Haller, and first ball, second ball, more crosses, ball in the box, one more corner, another one, is never easy in the Premier League. But I'm very happy with the players and for the players.
Yeah, you had 3 days with the players obviously coming in on Wednesday. How difficult has it been to get your message across, and how pleased are you given you only had a short period of time to get that win today?
Yeah, we need to be very, very selective on the information. You cannot fill the player's brain with information. You cannot train a lot. You have just to be selective in the ideas you want to bring to the team and to the positional play, and be really, really selective with that, which I think we did. So the players, they found some little help in principles of play, but then it was about them, and that's why I'm very happy for them and very happy with them.
And finally from me, Jose, you joked in the week about Dele Alli potentially being his brother playing instead of him. Yeah, what a performance from him today.
No, his brother stayed at home. Dele was here, the Dele that everybody loves, the Dele that many clubs were trying to buy a few years ago. This is Dele. I took him off minutes 70 something because I felt that that energy was coming down a little bit. I brought Christian because I thought he could give us some stability in a period where we need the ball. but really, really pleased, and I'm happy that he was chosen for the man of the match, because it's a good feeling for a boy that in previous matches was staying at home and sending his brother.
Let's speak to a Spurs fan. Lee is with us on TalkSport 2. How are you doing, Lee?
Hello, Adrian. It's the Rabbi, Lee the Rabbi.
Bonjour. Oh, yeah. How are you feeling? I mean, is it all warm love for Mourinho?
With Mourinho, I phoned up the other day and I was upset. Of course, you know, we all love Pochettino, you know, and it's the way Daniel Levy goes about things. But hey-ho. But the respect today I give that man, right? Well, yes, the result was great. But what I liked about him is, at the end of the game, he didn't go up to the Tottenham fans. He stayed about 30, 40 yards away. He clapped. He waited till all the, you know, players went over. You know, you can watch the replay. And he was looking at the Spurs fans. And the respect, he could have gone up there, rubbed it in our faces, you know, but I give him respect. And, yeah, I'm warming to him. If I warm any more, I'll be on fire.
He has changed. He probably has. I think the Man United experience has changed him. I think he's a little more humble. I think he realises he can't be as abrupt with the players now. So I think he's got to be a little bit more friendly. And there has been a change in him. But whether or not it's going to be good enough to get you where you want to go, mate, I don't know.
You could see a change in the players today, in the attitude. Look at Dele Alli. Come on. I haven't seen Dele Alli play like that. That first half, that little bit of skill, what he done was fantastic. I haven't seen that from the man for about a year, 6 months. You know, that was missing. You know, the boy at the back, Sanchez, all right, he made a mistake for the second goal. He had a cracking game. Honestly, I see a difference.
And Lee, I make you right, Lee, and appreciate the call. Thank you very much, mate. I think that there's a couple of things. I mean, we had an interview before kickoff at the London Stadium with Dele Alli, an exclusive interview, the Moussa Dele Alli. And you know what, Alvin, just very quickly, he was calling, when he was talking about Pochettino and how much he liked him, kept calling him Poch. And I was thinking to myself, is that right? Is that how he should be referring to him? Was there a healthy distance? And in the end, was that the reason why maybe the players weren't listening to him? It's got to be right, hasn't it?
Well, he done something right. He did something very right for Tottenham, Pochettino. So whatever we think about his style, I think he is close to his players. I think Harry Kane said that, Adrian, when he left his message. He said, "You ain't just a manager. You are my friend." Now that's great. If you can do that and you can keep that relationship at a certain level and at a certain distance as well, it's a very tricky thing to do. But yeah, I think he did it, and I think his players all respect him, and he's developed them players. A lot of them players would not have been where they are now without him, and they all, I think, understand that. Harry Kane more or less said that, didn't he? I think Ali, he brought him in as a, you know, a League One player, and he was playing Premier League football. So all the players that have come through that treadmill while he was there all loved him, and he will go on to do the same again. Now, whether that relationship somewhere along the line got too close or whatever, I don't know. But I didn't see players not playing for him. I think things went against him this year, and I think they rolled a little bit of luck last year, Adrian. But I think he's been batting, certainly punching above his weight now, I think, Pochettino, with the depth of squad and the quality of squad in comparison to the other teams that he's been fighting against. And the other two teams, Liverpool and Man City, had a lot more than him.
Stuart said something quite interesting earlier on. Jose Mourinho wouldn't have gone to that club before, when that club was pre-Maurizio Pochettino era, when it wasn't a top four club, when it wasn't a potential Champions League final club. Has he changed? I mean, does that not count for anything in football? Is that not something you'd stick on your CV?
Yeah, of course, yeah. Because as I said, he's established Spurs as a top four side, got into a Champions League final. And you're right, he's developed the training ground, they've got a new stadium and stuff. But at the same time, before, they were kind of floating with the top four, sometimes finishing fifth. And Jose Mourinho's coming from a place where he's won Premier League titles, won Champions Leagues. So he's always competing for something. So that's probably why he wouldn't have gone it back then. But for me, it won't be too long before he's in a job, because as I said, Pochettino, he is a potentially a fantastic manager. But as I said, it looks like there's going to be a fair few that could be out of a job soon.
When you look at that team and the potential players in it that are starters, you know, people that would be in their starting lineup, Alderweireld, Vertonghen, Christian Eriksen, that aren't starting this season because they want a way. Danny Rose as well has outwardly said, you know, I'm going to leave this club. How difficult is it for a manager who even came out and said, don't call me manager, I'm head coach, I'm not in charge of the ins and outs of this club. How difficult do you think his job was towards the end of his tenure, that he couldn't play his best players, they weren't happy to be there, obviously had discomfort in the ranks somehow? Do you not look at that and think it goes beyond Mauricio Pochettino?
Yeah, it does go beyond him. But as I said, I think the reason, I mean, you talk about his development of Harry Kane, Heung-min Song. I mean, some of these guys, he's turned them into real world beaters. But I think when you look at Pochettino, sometimes the first thing a lot of people say about him is what a nice guy he is. And oh my God, I can't believe they sacked him because he's a really nice person. I got on really well with him. You look at some of the Instagram posts from some of the players that obviously when he left, but Spurs don't need that. And I think that was the issue. Too many of them players got comfortable. They saw much of Pochettino more as a father figure. So then the authority maybe went out the window a little bit, which is why you start to see performances from people like Eriksen, who'd been brilliant the whole time he's been there up until this season, for Tongan and Toby over the world, these type of guys. So I think the perfect person to come in after that, someone who doesn't put up with all that and not scared to make the big decisions, is Jose Mourinho. And I think the biggest thing Spurs needed was someone with the mindset and the mentality about winning trophies, and this guy has got that in abundance.
Not scared to turn the air blue.
Exactly. He doesn't matter who, even if he signed someone for a lot of money, as we've seen when he went to Manchester United, if they're not pulling their weight and he's going to out them quickly, and if it means he's got to alienate them just to pull it out there, then he's going to do that.
Game day, your verdict on Talk Sport.
Let's go to Johnny's a Manchester City fan. Hello, John, welcome.
Hiya, guys. Hello. If it's not hard enough defending the Premier League title for the third successive year, VAR, unbelievable. I mean, I haven't seen Liverpool's game, I haven't seen it at all, but when Phil Thompson, who you cut him in half and he'll bleed red blood and it'll read Liverpool through him, when he says he doesn't know what it's chalked off for, it's like a conspiracy. It's really, really poor. Every decision that's referred by to VAR is just beyond it. And why did Sergio Aguero not get a penalty when he was giving a piggyback to think it was Jorginho? He just dragged him to the ground. The referee's looking at it. It's clear. It's obvious. No, carry on. I mean, Jorginho got substituted before he got sent off. I mean, he was just piggybacking half our team. And man of the match, not Riyad Mahrez, N'Golo Kante, boss bit, all game long. He was magnificent.
Yeah.
So, that's from a City fan.
He was, wasn't he? It's good to see him back. It's good to see him actually playing again and in that role as well. Thank you very much for your call. We're going to drop him off for a moment, but he did bring up another point. This was a really odd one, actually. This was in the Brighton-Leicester game. Leicester went on to win this 2-0. Jamie Vardy is about to take a penalty. There are what looks like three players encroaching at this point. James Maddison is not the furthest forward, by the way. There are two other players inside that box that are Brighton players as Jamie Vardy takes that penalty. It's saved, it's deflected. James Maddison then goes on and scores a deflection, but then that penalty has to be retaken because of encroachment. So firstly, I mean, what? I don't understand why. Okay, so for example, if it's the Brighton players that are inside the box, I didn't think it mattered which side. Look, if a player's encroaching, it's encroaching, isn't it? But if you go on and score a goal, like I'm so confused with who's being penalised and you're not going to play advantage. What's happened?
I just think by the letter of the law, VAR, obviously if you encroach in the box before the penalty's taken, it's obviously got to be retaken now.
If you're penalising the defending team though... Easy for me to say. then why don't you just allow that goal to stand?
Because Madison's encroaching as well. So obviously, because he's in the box as well, it comes back to him. He's got an advantage over the defender because I think it was the right-hand side of Jamie Vardy was two Brighton players, and then the left-hand side was Madison. I think maybe one other player, another Brighton player. But I said he's obviously gaining an advantage because he's gone that way. The keeper saved it, and Madison's already got the edge on people, and he's headed it in the empty net.
So if they would have been retaken, even if, for example, after the clearance... a Brighton player had cleared it off the line.
I think so,
they would have had to retake it as
well. They would have had to because it's the rules.
Let's go to Paul. Paul, can you bring some sort of sanity to the conversation? You're a Leicester fan.
Good evening. Good evening. Yes. So it carries on then. I mean, what's the saying? 2-0 to the Leicester boys, not 1-0, just like that. Well, I'm not going to get too carried away. Just keep picking the
points. No, don't worry about it. Go for it, Paul. Get carried away. Why not?
Yeah. Pragmatic. I mean, obviously, we've read it before where everyone was saying, well, you're going to fall away, but we know we can't fall away now for a few weeks and stuff. But just keep picking the points up. We've got flipping the goal difference is higher than the points total. That's a bit back in a minute. But what I was going to say was, I tried to go the other week in the Arsenal, when played Arsenal, and obviously you were Arsenal fans, and I tweeted, Sophie, that's Sophie, the Arsenal fan, as well, and about that. And fundamentally, the last few years, I believe, Prince, has been Vardy. since he came here, obviously, the thing, he's been a talisman, he's been the leader, and he leads the side up. He leads the side up when he demands. That's why he demands, because he's got to prove people wrong all the time. The likes of Chilwell and Harvey Barnes and that, can only imagine what it's like to work 10 hours a day in a factory at first. They'll never do that. So we're going on the pitch, and I think, you know, big hearts, to earn the right to win the games, you know, to earn the right to, you know, to play the football and stuff. And I think that's kind of how it's been in stuff where, and that's what I'm to do, scrap to, you know, to win the battles and stuff. And I think that's important. You know, okay, he's not the captain, Vardy, but he's a leader.
He definitely leads by example. I mean, I saw highlights today of him chasing lost causes and amount of opportunities just with his sheer work rate, nicking it off defenders, getting in behind. And there's a few occasions I thought where Leicester could have done better, where I think he's broke down the line. If he squares it to Perez earlier, Perez would have scored before he got his goal. But at the minute, I mean, for me, that's one of the signings of the season. And that's gone under the radar, Perez, because he puts a shift in. Yeah. We didn't see that.
We didn't see that really on a consistent basis
at Newcastle.
Yeah, the recruitment's been, you know, it's everybody's all interested in us all the time. The players especially can take that, you know, take that as a compliment. But, you know, the recruitment has been really good the last few years. But, and that's a bit of luck as well. But, yeah, just it's just good, obviously, we're not conceding and stuff. But, and obviously, Vardy can't stop scoring. But as for where we finish, you know, just keep, you know, just don't get too carried away by it all and just keep picking the points up, and that's it. I like to think we'll be in the top six. You know,
top six, do you say?
Well, yeah, definitely, because we've come down for the last two seasons, and I'm like that. I'm cautious, always cautious optimism, but I just like that because it's top six. But, you know, as the games go down, you know, with 10 points to clear the Wolves, that's four games, isn't it? At least four games before they can overtake. That's how I look at it, at least four games. And the games start wearing down, but we'll see. I'm sure we'll go through a bad patch, but the next few games, you know, I think we should be winning them as well, but then we can probably come and stop, but I don't know. But yeah, Rodgers has been superb. I wanted him from day one. As soon as he got rumoured, I thought, God, we'd be lucky to have him. And I said that to my mates, we'd be really lucky if we have him at our club. I think he'd be a good fit.
All right, Paul, thank you so much for your call. I appreciate that. Stuart, can I just bounce that idea off you? The idea that Brendan Rodgers, I mean, it's not a new idea. Everybody knows he's come in and done wonders with that team. How difficult is it going to be to keep hold of Brendan Rodgers?
I would say it's going to be very difficult. I felt maybe at time gone by that he was on his way to Arsenal, you know, a year and a bit ago. When Arsenal finished, I thought that was an absolute perfect fit, and the style of play at Arsenal, and I don't want to take him away from Leicester, I thought that that was a really good fit. And I understand your tonality when he said, I think we might finish in the top six. I'll be astounded if they finished outside the top six now, you know. And Leicester's good seasons, if you look back over the last however many years, they all tally when Vardy plays well. If he plays well and leads the line well, Leicester have done well. They've won the league when he's done that. When he has a quiet season, they drop away from it. So he's so important to them.
Stuart, is the one worry with Leicester the depth in their team and their squad, that if they do come across a couple of injuries, one or two to key players, have they got enough on their bench to keep their intensity up?
It depends which players get injured. And we've talked about the centre-forward. If they lose the centre-forward, they'll have a big, big problem, you know. And Chilwell will be a big miss for them as well, what he offers. But listen, he's got them going brilliantly there. They're full of beans at the moment. They're playing really well. And credit to them. I think they can finish wherever they want to finish this year, to be fair. I'm not sure. I think that maybe the top two is too much for them. But I certainly think they can finish in the top four.
Alex Crook is interviewing the managers and players right now. We'll hear those interviews a bit later on. But he's just told me that Brendan Rodgers, he's interviewed him, and he says that Jamie Vardy has no interest in coming out of international retirement for Euro 2020. We'll hear that interview very shortly. It's such a shame, but I kind of knew that was coming. In fact, let's hear that interview now. Brendan Rodgers speaking to TalkSport.
And obviously with Vardy scoring at such frequency now, is it inevitable that maybe Gareth Southgate might come calling before the Euros and try and tempt him out of retirement?
Well, he's not interested. I think it's one that he's made that clear. I think you see that he's clearly good enough to be there, but I don't think at his age he would really want to go and sit on the bench and travel. So Harry Kane's a wonderful striker. He's playing. He plays majority of the minutes of the game, and that's okay with Jamie. He's prolonging his career at club level. You know, he's having that rest and the international break, and that's going to allow him to continue playing hopefully for a few more years.
And just finally, do you think Leicester are benefiting from that? The fact he's had that 2 week break, he's come back refreshed and firing again today.
Yeah, well, I gave them the non-international players. I gave them a week off just to, you know, before we arrive into a really busy period. So, yeah, he works very hard in training. He never misses a day's training. You know, he's 32, and you see speed today and how fit and fresh he is. He's such a threat. But he's such a joy to work with, and like I say, hopefully there's many more goals to come.
There you go, Brendan Rodgers speaking to TalkSport. About Jamie Vardy, let me, Alvin, give you a few responses on Twitter to this. Christopher says, this is generally what happens when someone retires. Why would he be interested? Well, 2 points there. Players have come out of retirement before. That is a thing. It does happen. And also, why would he be interested? Well, because England's group games are at Wembley. The semi-final, final are at Wembley. You never know what might happen and you might just want to be part of it. I'm not saying he does, clearly he doesn't, but it is a temptation. And Den says, why would he? He'd be shoved on the wing for 10 minutes at the end. Why no one passes to him? And I think that the big problem he's got, he was prepared to do this. Knowing Harry Kane was the number one striker, Alvin, he was prepared to be in the England squad and be on the bench for Euro 2016 and for the World Cup last year as well. He got 8 minutes at the end of extra time against Croatia, which I think is Gareth Southgate's biggest mistake to date on the pitch for England. Vardy should have had at least half an hour, that whole of extra time on the pitch, to try something different, to run at them. He was devastating here today, Alvin. Absolutely devastating. And people might say that that form for Leicester is because he's quit international football, and I get that, and it may well be a part of it. But I think that that was a massive error at the World Cup last year. Jamie Vardy, he's just sensational. I love watching him.
Game day, your verdict on Talk Sport.
Let's speak to John. He's a Brighton fan. How you doing, John? You're on Talk Sport too. What do you want to say?
You all right there, Ed? Good show again, as always.
Thanks, mate.
Cheers. Basically, I'm on my way back from the Amex now. I've been down there today, and Mike Dean is not the best. How he's a Premier League referee, I have no clue. Twice today, Mopai was pushed over the six-yard box and nothing was given on either, and there wasn't a VAR check. I don't understand why we've got VAR for it to be checking some things and not others. It's like it picks and chooses when it wants to be used.
And then, do you know what, John? John, I've been here at the Amex, I'm still here, and it's still chucking it down, by the way, and it's still raining into the press box. But I was wondering if VAR was working at one point, because they weren't checking anything.
They weren't at all. And then when they did start checking stuff, I'm still sat in the north end stand, so the opposite end to where the penalty was taken. I haven't got the first clue, firstly, that there was even a VAR decision going on. I saw him point to the spot. It took about a minute before it comes up on the screen, so you haven't got a clue what's going on if you're a fan sat there. And then once the penalty's taken and it comes out and it goes in, you see them celebrate. Then VAR comes up, says no goal, so you celebrate. And then they point back to the spot again. I don't know why it was retaken. I don't know why it was a penalty in the first place. I don't know why it took so long for it to come up on the screen. And
it's a great point on... Fantastic point, John, on the Brighton fans celebrating. When the goal was ruled out, there was a massive cheer. It was almost like Brighton had scored when the penalty, Madison's rebounds going in the net, when that was ruled out. Because nobody realised that it was going to be retaken. And so you had... I mean, the emotions that you're going through at that time, it's kind of... Nobody really wants... Who wants to pay for that roller coaster of experience, which none of it's real. I mean, I understand the roller coaster of emotions and what football can bring, and it's unpredictable when you go to games. I've paid lots and lots of money over the years to experience that roller coaster, and you can't guarantee happiness when you go to football. Anybody out there relying on their team for happiness, you're having a laugh. It's just never going to happen. Don't bother even trying. But when you come to a football match like this one today, and you don't know what's going on, but you're experiencing that roller coaster, and at the end of it all, it's not real. You've had all those feelings and those extremes of emotion, which is what football is all about for the paying spectator. You've had all those extremes of emotion, and yet none of them are real because you don't know what's going on and you think you knew, but you didn't. It really is. This is where some people don't understand, John, the experience of the fan and why VAR is taken away from it. I think today, Adrian, at the Amex, we saw exactly what that means.
Adrian, it takes me 2.5 hours to get to the Amex just to be sit in a crowd and not have a clue what's going on. Let alone the price I pay to get in. It's the price I pay. It costs me fuel now to drive back because I live in Kent. And then I've got to walk across Lewis and get a train from Lewis to Falmer. All that time I spend getting to and from games, and I'm sat in a crowd with no clue what's going on.
Do you know, there's sometimes as well, boys, there are going to be fans who experience maybe two goals that they think their team scored that are chalked off. And so what you end up doing is having people leave the stadium angry, frustrated. You know, that there's going to be a lot of that. If we had a vote mid-season, just coming up to halfway season, I think that and I was somebody that wanted VAR in, if I was asked to vote now for it, I would vote that we ditched it.
I would vote that as well. John, very quickly on the game, I've been wowing about Vardy. It was a shame Dunk was suspended because I would have liked to seen how he would have handled him. But Jamie Vardy was you couldn't live with him, could you?
I thought Webster did a good job on him in the first half. In the second half, every time that Leicester broke, it was Vardy breaking. I'll give you that. But I thought Webster in his place did quite a good job today of handling Vardy, as and when he could, because I don't think I saw a lot of him in the first half.
First half, yeah, I agree with you there. It was Leicester were on top, then Brighton came back into it. It was exciting, but no goals. Yeah. And then I think Leicester's game plan really hit home. But I think there's a lot to be happy about as a Brighton fan. I think, John, thanks for the call. I think that there's positives there. It's such a shame that Dunk didn't play today. But on the break, when Brighton were going forward and trying to find a winner or an equaliser in the end, Leicester were absolutely devastating. On the break.
Let's focus on Everton because a lot of money has been spent in the last few windows. 100 million, I should
say.
100,000 is not a lot, is it? I could probably spend more than that. 14 points at the moment, which puts them in 15th, just 4 points above relegation. And they lost today, which perhaps is one of the most stinging losses, I would say. Everton, 0, Norwich, 2. Especially Marco Silva's tenure. I mean, that hurts from a team that can't really settle into the Premier League. They're at the moment on 10 points. They've only won 3 games. That's Norwich in 18th at the moment. Why don't we speak to an Everton fan, Peter? Welcome, Peter.
Hello.
Hello. Oh, Peter. Wow. Oh, I probably don't need to ask you how you're feeling, but I'm going to do it anyway.
Terrible.
Peter, do you know what? Me and Darren were speaking about this earlier on off air. We were saying it's so strange at Everton because you can get massive wins against teams in the top six and you can be so brilliant at home and then you can slip up in a game like this to Norwich.
I think Marco Silva, he's got to go. Otherwise, we'd be like a sinking ship and I think we'll get relegated myself and carry on like this.
Well, 4 points at the moment above relegation zone. Do you think, Darren, the idea of not getting the best out of his players, is that squad underperforming?
Yeah, of course it is, yeah. But he has got to take responsibility with team selection. Some of the signings you'd have to question. Maybe strengthening in areas they didn't need to strengthen. But I just think where Everton are at the minute, they need to do something quite drastic because you're right, they're winning games. Obviously, they beat Southampton last week or before the international break 2-1, and that paves over the cracks. But there's underlying issues there. You're right, he's not getting the best out of his players. They're not performing well. They're not solid to play against. Away from home, they struggle a little bit. Yeah, Goodison Park, they've got a few good results. But for me, I think it's time for a change, a freshen up, because he's not getting the best out of his players. It's like a cycle. Like he gets to the brink, he wins a game, and then everyone's like, okay, we've turned the corner. Well, no, because the next couple of games, they ultimately end up losing.
What's Marco Silva's legacy going to be if, for example, he does lose his job at Everton? Because at the moment, there hasn't really been a team where he's succeeded or taken them forward, and he's left in a real shadow, actually, as well.
Well, he must have an unbelievable resume or something when he goes to these meetings with the owners to get the job, because they obviously like him because he got employed by Watford and he's come to Everton. They obviously really like what he had to say, and they obviously he's selling them a dream of the way he wants to play, but really he's not got the players to do that. So, as I said, I do think Everton need a change, and I don't really like seeing people lose their job, but for me, Everton, to go forward, they need to move on or just change it or freshen it up, because I think first and foremost they need a manager that's defensive minded, because they are shipping way too many goals. And you know what it's like, if you keep shipping goal after goal after goal, you'll never win a game.
You're suggesting Sam Allardyce?
Listen, I know they hated him when he was there, but at the same time you need someone who's going to get results, and it might not be the best football to watch, but Everton are not free scoring team either. They're not, it's like they're scoring two and threes every game. So if you're not scoring goals but you concede in every single game, then you please tell me how you're ever going to win any game or get any kind of result.
So I think they wanted more attractive football, obviously, when Sam was there, and they didn't enjoy that. But there is a manager that some people have been calling back in for, and that is David Moyes. We saw it on social media earlier on. We had a look at the tweets together. Could you see that happening?
Potentially, yeah, because I'm sure David Moyes would run back there, because You know what I mean? There was a period, I think it was there 8 or 9 years, where he got them real stabilised, really tough team. But I don't think they've got the same mentality now as they had back then. You look at some of the leaders in that team when it was so successful back then, like people like Jagielka, Leighton Baines, Sylvain Distan was there. These type players, Tim Cahill, these type guys here, where they knew what everyone was about. They knew how to play. It was hard to play against. They made Goodison Park a fortress. I just don't think this current Everton team has got that same mindset.
Let's speak to an Everton fan. Wesley is with us on the show. Everton beaten at home 2-0 by Norwich today. How you doing, Wes?
I'm fine, mate. You?
Yeah, I'm not bad. I mean, what now for Marco Silva?
He's got to go. Plain and simply. You know, you're talking about all these coaches. You've got Lampard at Chelsea now, what he's doing there. You've got Klopp across the other side of the park. It's just transformed them into one of Europeans' great. And that's because everything starts and stops with the manager. And what's happening at Everton is you're going backwards. I don't know what they're doing in training. Nobody knows what side he's going to pick. You've got across the park, they know exactly what players are playing. They know exactly what position they're playing in. They know exactly what to do on the pitch because they play together every week. What are you doing at Everton? Listen, I've followed Everton my whole life, so I feel the way Evertonians feel. And what is happening at Goodison Park now, he has got to go. If he's not gone by tomorrow, I won't be going to the game again, I'm telling you.
Wesley, you're upset, but if we talk about percentages now of Evertonians in the ground today who want to see him go, what sort of percentage are we looking at?
I would say it's into the 90s now.
Right.
Cool. All my friends, all my pals, the people I speak to, and look, Evertonians are true, and it's resonating through every single supporter. What he's doing, he's had enough time now. What he was doing last season, what he's doing this season, he's been given the money by Mascheri, he's got to go. And I tell you what else I'd do whatever we can to get Pochettino in.
Yeah.
Do you think he would take that job, though?
Doesn't listen, it's a tough job, but we were in exactly the same position Tottenham were in when he took over Tottenham, so why not?
The reason
Tottenham didn't surpass what they were doing is because they didn't invest in the players.
Yeah, at the right time.
He will do with Everton.
It's a fair point. I want just very on what happened today and on generally how Everton play, Wes. I'm intrigued as to why they can't score goals, and I appreciate there's no Harry Kane and no Vardy there, but they do have players, they have strikers. And they should be scoring goals. So what is it about the setup and the way they play that means they can't score goals?
Right, well, obviously then you're going to look, you look directly at the players. And if we've got the players, then where else do you look? You look at the coach. What's he doing? What's he doing in training? What does he see in training that makes him play Tom Davis and Schneiderlin and one striker at home against the worst team, apparently, in the Premier League? And that's the team he picks.
That's extraordinary.
It is, isn't it? Look, you can't defend that,
can you?
No, you know you can't. No, when you think of the players Everton have invested in, what I would have done today is play Moise Keane, put him on. He's just scored 2 for Italy. His confidence will be sky high. Give him the support that he needs to in the Premiership. Put him in. Put a player Wolby in the number 10, and that little bit of pace we need up front, that little bit of guile behind, totally lacking today, would have been in there. It would have given us a lot flipping better chance than playing Morgan Schneiderlin, who only knows how to pass backwards, and Tom Davis, who can't carry the side on his own.
Well, I'll tell you what, Wes, you've got 2 games coming up, haven't you? You've got Leicester away, who are flying at the moment, and then Liverpool. So they're 2 humdingers they are. So if he is in charge by then, there's a good chance that after those 2 games, he'll be gone.
I'll get me wish. Fingers crossed,
eh? Let me just take you back to that, what you said about the makeup of the side. I'm just looking at the side now. Tosun started. Richarlison, Sigurdsson, Walcott are all... All right, Walcott and Richarlison are attacking players. So to say he played one up front, technically you're right. I mean, were they too far withdrawn or too far away from Tosun, Walcott and Richarlison to be effective?
Right, okay, so if you're going to play Tosun, you play to his strengths, right? And we don't. We don't do that. He can't play a number 9 on his own. He can't do it. He needs another one there. So well, you either play another striker with him, or you give him that little bit of intrigue from behind, play a number 10, an intricate number 10, Bernard, a Wolby, somebody like that, who can slip the ball in behind, because it's dead easy to defend. You've got no pace. You've got no guy coming from the middle. The wide players don't stick wide. They love to come inside. And then you've got one player up front, so you hit the ball too long all the time. It's dead easy. Why should we be looking at Everton laughing their head off?
I think you should take over, mate. It sounds like you know what you're talking about. I don't understand the Iwobi thing either. How can you pay that? By the way, Man City have equalised. How can you pay that for Iwobi? And then he's on the bench against Norwich.
I know. And then he gives the captain armband to Sigurdsson, who has been the worst player for Everton this season. What? How does that resonate to Everton players? What did the other Everton players pick up off that?
I think there are telltale signs, Ed, when a manager has lost his way and he can't see the wood for the trees. You know, team selection is usually the thing, because I think fans, when they go, they love their club, they're emotionally involved in it, but they can actually see it. I think a manager sometimes, when he can hear all these different noises and voices and the pressure that's on him, they start to overcomplicate it, they over-egg it, and I think that looks like where he is at the moment, Silva.
Listen, where's Chinup? Thanks for the... What a brilliant call, by the way. He's gone deep into tactical, technical detail. And he's not come on here shouting and ranting about Marco Silva. It's a proper taking apart of what Silva's doing at Everton.
Well, he's upset, but the big thing that hit me there, when I said to him, what percentage now of Everton fans are against Silva? And he said 90%. And when it gets to that level, Adrian, you don't survive. You don't survive it.
Could Everton get Rafa Benitez?
Oh, well, do you know what? Rafa Benitez is the sort of manager that I think that the Everton fans would say, yeah, we'd have that, because he knows that you don't go willy-nilly, you don't go attack all out. You go there, you're pragmatic, but you play high up the pitch. You want to put pressure on the opposition, especially at home. And I think, you know, Newcastle to a certain degree is like is Goodison. St. James Park and Goodison, they're fervent fans, but they want us to be excited. They want to see their team taking the game to the opposition.
Game Day.
The biggest football league in the world.
Game Day. Your verdict on Talk Sport.
The Premier League All Access podcast is proud to be brought to you by Ladbrokes. The latest odds? We set them. Form guides? We've got them. Expert opinions? We share them. The best fans in the world deserve the best. Be match day ready before the whistle blows with Ladbrokes. Odds update on Talk Sport with Ladbrokes. Are you in? Let's go. Play at ladbrokes.com. 18 plus. Be gambleaware.org. T's and C's apply.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.